Welcome to Devotions from Calvary Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Steinke, the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church here in Troy, Ohio. I'm so glad that you could join with me on this podcast as we will dive into some fascinating subjects over the course of time. And I would encourage you to not only follow me, but share my podcast with your family and your friends. And if you would, give me a 5-star. I think that would be wonderful if you could do that. This would help make my podcast more available. And for those even looking for a Bible-based Christian subject podcast. And so if you could help me with that, that would be great. And I would certainly appreciate that. Lord willing, I plan to have some special guests with me during some of the podcasts as we may deal with some different subjects that I would like to have different views on. And certainly this would not be a debating type of a podcast, but I think it would be good to have some others in here that we might share some things that we can all learn from. And really, everything that we're going to do is going to be Bible-based. It is a Christian podcast, and we will be using out of the King James Version. You may have a different version, and you can certainly follow along, and I would encourage you to do that. But some of the subjects may be controversial, and Yet, I think what we are trying to do, and certainly what we want to do, is to bring out the truth. And so I wanted to kind of preface, really, that our podcast, that as we discuss, will be a truth that is directly from the Bible. So our Bible is our textbook, our Bible is our foundation, our guideline, it is our benchmark, our measuring tool, whatever you want to define it as. But what that does is that it will dismiss really my own philosophy and even my own interpretation of what the Bible says. We have to be very careful when we pull some things out of the Bible. There's two words, they're big words. One is eisegesis and the other one is exegesis. And what we want to practice is exegesis. Exegesis is pulling the truth out of the Bible and applying it to me. Eisegesis is what I think the Bible should say and putting it into the Bible. Really redefining the Bible or rewriting the Bible with our own philosophy. So when we talk about some of the subjects that are in this podcast, even though they may be controversial, we want to find out what the truth is, and that will be directly from the Bible, and keep my philosophy, my interpretation out. And so we'll take subject matters and see what the Bible says within the context of that subject to discover the truth. Always keep it in the context, in the proper context. A couple years ago, I suppose, I had taught a class, about a 9-week class, a 9-week course on Bible interpretation. And some of the questions that we would have to ask ourselves is, who is speaking? Who was being spoken to? What was the situation or the circumstance or even what question came up? And to try to find out really the truth of what was going on, what was being said, so we don't take a verse out of its context and then kind of try to discover or really form our own thinking or even our own religion, as many have done over the course of time based on what we think. But it's what the Bible says. I think you would probably agree with me that we are living in confusing times. And I say that because we have several generations that are searching for truth. Yet the problem is that, they don't know what truth is. If you know, they don't even know if they hear the truth that it is. So because the reason is that some of the personal views of truth have become very distorted. And has become a distorted view of truth, a distorted view of their opinion. And so then the question is, what is truth? And we also have to consider that we're not only living in these generations that deal with this. This has been dealt with for thousands of years. What is truth? If you remember, during the interrogation of Christ in the hall of Pilate directly asked Jesus a question. Pilate directly asked him, what is truth. And you'll find that in John chapter number 18, verse number 38. Pilate asked Jesus, while sitting there or while standing, we don't know exactly the position of Christ, yet Pilate came to him and said, "What is truth?" And this question has become a source of speculation with many theologians as to why Pilate asked Christ that question, why he came to him and wanted to know the answer to what is truth. Now, some would say that it was out of some kind of contention. In other words, he wanted Christ to make some statement that would warrant his arrest, because Pilate had a difficult time finding fault in him. Pilate had a hard time discovering, well, what's the problem? Well, the Jewish leaders, they were saying this and this and this. And the biggest complaint that they had was he was claiming to be the Son of God, and they are trying him for blasphemy. So Pilate wanted to warrant his arrest and wanted to find something that would say, okay, now I can see. Pilate was poking and he was prodding for some disastrous response that would ease his conscience of taking a man's life. I think he was probably pressured by the Jewish leaders as they brought him, because the Jewish law would not permit them to put Christ to death. They could not do that on their own. So they had to have the Romans to intercept this complaint and now depend on Pilate to do the dirty work. Yet, when Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" Christ did not respond. And that is another question, as why did not Jesus respond? Well, we can also consider that Pilate himself, hearing about Christ, all the things that took place, because his ministry did not go unnoticed in the surrounding area, in the surrounding world at that time, Pilate no doubtedly has heard. Maybe even in the background, he stood and watched. We don't know. But you cannot say that Pilate never heard of Christ or heard about his teachings. He may have heard snippets of his preaching or by secondhand by those who have been around Christ, and he heard conversations and what they were saying, because they were astonished and they were just enamored with some of the things that Christ was teaching them. And so now he wanted to know if what was being said, or what I heard secondhand, or what I heard from you firsthand, is that truth? I want to know what truth is. I want to know from you what is truth. Well, Pilate was around hearing Christ himself, and those maybe secondhand he heard there at the drinking fountain downtown, stopped at the coffee shop. He heard people talking. I'm just being silly, but that's, he could have heard it secondhand, he could have heard it third hand, and he could have heard the truth. So does that warrant Jesus to then tell him, yes, that's truth? Or was that initial hearing enough for Christ to even allow the work of God, the work of the Holy Spirit, to have his way and have his part in Pilate's life? So we may also deliberate on the possibility that Pilate himself was searching for a truth. Maybe his heart had been bothering him. Maybe his conscience was telling him and bringing him to a conviction. I mean, he's heard the messages of Christ, but he's also heard some of the messages of the Jewish leaders and other false prophets that have been around. And now the ministry of Christ pronounced a new or a different message, something that really that is fresh and almost seems to be unreal. Matthew mentions that when Jesus was done speaking, that the people were astonished at his doctrine. You see, the teachings of Christ, they were attacking many hearts and even unfortunately, bringing division among the Jews, the Jewish religion, the Jewish leaders, the Jewish nation. Because what they have been taught and even what they are teaching now is not what Jesus was saying. And by the way, what Jesus was saying was you know, in the Old Testament, what you're doing and what you're saying is not necessarily incorrect in some areas. Now, there were some other areas where they were absolutely off the wall, and he called them out. Matter of fact, he called them hypocrites and serpents and snakes and all kind of things, because they were taking the truth and distorting the truth. But what he wanted to do and what he was trying to prove to them was what you had practiced and what you had been taught and what you had believed all the way past from generations prior, from your father Abraham, and on and on and on. Those were pictures and silhouettes and shadows, and they were prophecies of me. And I'm here, and even as he said, I'm not here to destroy the law. I am here to fulfill the law. I am the fulfillment of the law. So the Jews had a hard time believing that and accepting that. And they have been, what they have been taught was not what Jesus was saying. So truth, unfortunately, was distorted. And for Christ even told the Sadducees in Matthew chapter 22 that ye err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Of course, they were another religious sect outside of the Pharisees, and which had some issues concerning the resurrection of the dead and so forth. And that's why he said, you know, you err because you don't know the scriptures, nor do you know the power of God that can make these things take place. So Pilate wanted truth, and it could have been possible that he already knew it. Maybe the indictment of his own heart was on trial and not Christ. Christ knew his heart, and therefore Christ kept silent, allowing his heart to bring him close to Christ, allowing that truth that already has been revealed to Pilate to now begin to plant that seed and to see what's going to take place. Even Pilate's wife, apparently that night, because when she came to Pilate during this conversation, it was in the morning. And that night, apparently she had a dream and had or a vision of some sort, as the Bible speaks of. And she said, for even, you know, and this was, you know, prior to the ultimate decision of the crucifixion, because, again, it was in the morning that she came to her husband Pilate. And in Matthew 27, it says, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. And so apparently this divine intervention took place by God himself that night, and now Pilate's wife is settled really with the innocence of Christ, which would probably also indicate that she also was settled. If she's settled with the innocence of Christ, as he has claimed to be the Son of God, claimed to be the Messiah, claimed to be the Lamb of God, claimed to be the sacrifice for all man's sin, the Redeemer of the world, if she's settled on the innocence of Christ, then she is also settled on the messages and the teachings that he claims, even as the very Son of God. She is also settled on that. So now you have Pilate's wife saying, to have nothing to do with this just man. I believe he is innocent. Therefore, she may even also have a conviction in believing in the very message that he had said, that he had preached and taught, not only in the synagogues, but on the side of the river and down by the Sea of Galilee, up on the hill. Pilate's heart was now wrestling with his spirit. It really was. He heard the truth, and now he has to make a decision. And to take the life of the one who is the truth, or now, what am I going to do? So he comes up with the wonderful idea that he's going to bring out some kind of a despicable criminal named Barabbas, and really to be exchanged for Christ's life. So this is a plan. I mean, it's not a bad plan, I suppose. You know, if I was going to try to get out of killing the Son of God, and yet you have this criminal that deserves death, that has been tried, he's been convicted and awaiting death, and now, you know, hey, let's see if this will happen. But the crowd, which was led by the Jewish religious cheerleaders that were chanting and with their spiritual pom-poms along the side, was beginning to cry, crucify him, crucify him. And that just stirred up a frenzy in the crowd. And they all said, crucify him. And then they said, release Barabbas unto us, but crucify the one who is called Christ. He's unable to prevail against the crowd, and to really, he wanted to erase his portion and participation in this. He wanted to not even be involved, but the Lord allowed this to take place. It was prophesied that it would take place, and Pilate was the tool that God would use for this to take place. Yet, Pilate's still wrestling with what is truth and wrestling with the conviction of what that might be. So his heart was really revealing to him that Jesus was the Son of God, or that Jesus was at least telling the truth, or he had some sense of conviction. So Pilate then took water and washed his hands before one of the largest courtroom crowds in history and said, "I am innocent of the blood of this just man." Washed his hands right before the people. Didn't even try to hide it, but he brought the water out, the bowl, whatever it took, and washed his hands right before the people and cried out, "I am innocent of the blood of this just man." So now, even Pilate takes the words of his own wife, where she said, "Have nothing to do with this just man." Now he takes those words and now somehow is in belief. Pilate was aware of truth. Not only was it revealed within his heart, but also by the testimony of his wife. Now, whether or not Pilate followed through with his knowledge of truth, we are not aware of. But we do know this, that there are many asking the very same question today. What is truth? Truth sometimes doesn't fit well in our thoughts. If we are at times want to deny the truth, to run away from the truth, or to ignore the truth, sometimes we reject it as we find it unsettling, and we don't want to put truth to give it a resting place in our life, and we don't want to absorb it or accept it. But whether we wrestle with it or completely deny it, truth cannot be changed. Truth is, it is a reality of what is. This is truth. You cannot change the truth. You cannot deny the truth. You cannot distort the truth. It is the truth. Can't change it. So to agree with that, with what the Bible reveals, again, in its proper context and rightful interpretation, is to agree with the truth. The question remains, though, within our own life, will we accept the truth? You know, or will we put truth on the courtyard stand and say, "Crucify it, put truth down, destroy truth, eradicate it, that it may not be a conviction unto me"? That's where we're living at today, that the world wants to distort the truth or even remove the truth because it brings such a conviction, it brings such a heartache, it has an effect on us. And so if we can remove the truth, then we can remove the conviction. The way God reveals himself to us is through the truth of the Bible, through the very Bible. It is not by the philosophies of man or the traditions of the church, but by the very words that you and I have the wonderful privilege to read, and that is in the Bible. May we begin, as we go through these podcasts, I want you to understand that it's not going to be an opinionated podcast. It's going to be, this is what the truth says, this is what the Bible says. Whether we agree with it or not, that doesn't change the fact. But it gives us the decision to accept it or to reject it. And so I hope and pray that as we have these podcasts and we share some truths, whether it's on the Devotions from Calvary, the video, which is also going to be inserted on these podcasts, or it's just a podcast itself, it's going to be consisting and comprising of the truth. I hope that we make a decision even today to accept truth, no matter what it is, but to accept it. So this is Greg Steinke, the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Troy, Ohio. I want to thank you for joining me for Devotions from Calvary podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, I would encourage you to contact me by emailing me at pastor@calvarytroy.com. That's pastor@calvarytroy.com, and I will certainly appreciate your response, and maybe have some comments. Maybe you have a subject matter that you would like for me to discuss on the podcast, and I'd be happy to do that. And but if you'd also like to leave a comment below, please download, follow, and even share these podcasts with others that we can see this grow. You can go on our Facebook page or my Facebook page, Devotions from Calvary, Troy, Ohio, and you can view some of the devotions from Calvary on there. Not all of the devotions from Calvary that are on the podcast will be on view. So keep that in mind. There will be more on the podcast than there will be on the video. But either way, visit them if you don't mind. All right? Well, may the Lord bless you today. And let's ask God to help us follow truth. All right? Hope to see you here at the church sometime, 1045 Monroe Concord Road here in Troy, Ohio, or I'll see you online. Lord bless you.